Greetings, Be Aware people. Welcome to Be Aware Nation, a corporation for evolution. We invite you to interact with us as we explore, develop, and synthesize awareness throughout layered living. We're evolutionizing the way people think, feel, and deal by merging medias into minds that matter. Being aware is a state to put your mind in. Join us as we consciously work to adapt the frameworks, models, and structures that make up all of our present-day operating systems and ownership models. We're here to fully explore the realm of where the ethereal becomes the material. Be Aware Nation is guided by the wisdom of the human spirit, utilizing the laws of science.
Well, greetings. This is
Sally.
Welcome
to Be Aware Nation Radio. We're Barrett and Sally Letzer. We'd like to welcome you this week. We've been out exploring the ether over these last couple of weeks and have taken advantage of quite a lot of ether communication to fill our minds with a lot of new information that we would like to randomly share with you today in a context of free-form exchange. We really are opportunistic in terms of using this platform to enable the kind of outreach into the universe that this kind of internet radio provides. It's a unique opportunity to really reach the entire globe in a way that is really fundamental to really touching base with this general awareness that we are so focused upon, which is the basis of our work at Be Aware Nation. At Be Aware Nation, we like to say being aware is a state to put your mind in. And clearly, as we go forward within the context of how the world continues to evolve, in our own personal experience, we see awareness growing, expanding, flourishing in all kinds of places, in all kinds of ways, with all kinds of people. And that is really stimulating. It really showcases the significance of paying attention to the core basis of our beings in a way that really begets an additional way of expressing ourselves. The more aware we are, the more we are able to express more of ourselves. And so the idea and ideal of being together in this process as members of the human family, seeking to exchange opportunities with each other to enrich each other's humanity, awareness begins to look like not just the glue, but the actual process of how things come together, the very nature of connectivity really begins to feel viscerally like awareness. And the more we're able to go out into the world and explore and examine and, you know, be witness to life in its process, we're able to really recognize how awareness is simply becoming much more available as part of our everyday experiences to be able to share with each other. And so when we're sharing awareness at the levels that we are, it really begins to change the ways we live. And there's lots and lots of ways to examine how we live, both here within the context of the American way of living, and more importantly and more appropriately, within the global context of how the global family lives, and how we as Americans and our preconceived notion of awareness feeds into that general unified field of awareness that is the universal field of awareness that is present across the globe, that we're all now a party to, because we're all now part of this global community in a way that really causes us to exchange with each other. That's what the global economy represents. And so the significance of how human commerce occurs within this new realm called the Internet, which enables us to have these kinds of Internet radio shows where we are able to speak our minds and declare our intentions to the body politic of the global family, enables us to literally have a global communication, to have a global conversation. And so that global discussion, if you will, centered around the various ideals of awareness, caused that unified field of awareness to, ring true, to glow in the light, to ring up, to light up as that discourse goes on. It's the fabric that binds us together across this global unified field.
And when you talk about the unified field, you know, our perception of the universe is that we've discussed before that the universe is constantly expanding. There is scientific data that tells us that. And so our feeling, our belief, our way of looking at the universal expansion is that it's all good. And so if the universe then is just variations replicating across the spectrum of which we're all a part of, then we have to automatically account for each other in our purest intentions. And if we all share ultimately the same pure intention from the universe, because man is really, if you get into nanotechnology, perhaps man is the microcosm of the universal system. And so if we look at that intention from the universe, then that should be our basis for all human commerce, which is what you're talking about. This human commerce is really not just economic. It's about the exchange of humanity between humans, and therefore their relationship not only to each other, but to their environment, and then at all to the universe as a whole. So we need to share that entire experience of what we call an etheric, an ethereal in the ether expression. And it's so imperative that we have this whole perspective based on the premise that we are equals in this way in terms of the source. And, you know, one of the things that is interesting about awareness and about how our own personal relationship is within ourself to our awareness and then to things outside of ourself, which then, of course, comes full circle. It's really the same because awareness has no boundaries.
Significant about the how that general state of awareness relative to the introduction of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Internet beget more awareness, or did awareness beget the Internet? Was the universe's intention so great, so grand, so specific that it itself created the Internet so as to facilitate the complete connectivity of that awareness?
Or was that awareness, was the Internet, the universal grid, albeit constantly changing and evolving, was our own awareness in terms of how we've come from an industrial age to a knowledge age to therefore an age of conscious awareness to simply be aware of the grid in the universal plan?
Well, and clearly, given the nature of how the internet seems clearly to mirror the universe, to mirror the way the human brain functions in relationship to its own interpretation of the universe,
mm-hmm.
how this awareness plays out and plays through that gives us such a significant presence in such a large scape, such as the entire global family,
mm-hmm.
wherein we are now able to feel connected to so many disparate parts of that global family. And
well,
and
I think that, you know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past was how when the internet first came into being, and once it left the intellectual, i.e. university systems and government systems, and became a more available infrastructure for everyday people, as it continues to grow in that regard, that more and more people are being able to have access, that there was some sort of retro clampdown that seemed to happen universally across the collective consciousness, where it was just too much information, too much ability to know too much, and therefore people just weren't ready for it. So we had this incredible shutdown of, you know, what we call the dot-com bust, where everything seemed to just go into retrograde. And then out of that, it was the baby steps from that people began to feel more and more comfortable with the technology and with this compelling access to information. And one of the things about awareness is that the greatest thing about awareness is that you're always aware that there's something that you don't know. And so to really embrace that, as opposed to feel impinged by the fact that you don't, that you're never going to know all the information. That's where people get overwhelmed. It's just too much information. Well, it's never too much information. It's just simply the selective process. And as we become more familiar with how to process that information in our daily landscape, then we're able to actually take in more information and become more adept at doing many things at once.
And that's really when you speak about the significance of the no boundaries, you know, the ideal of the internet producing an environment of communication, of networking, of being networked together, of being connected, where that interconnectivity itself is its own life force, where boundary does not define you, where territory does not constrain you, where the idea of a preconceived notion of separation for some physical manifestation of some embodiment of some principle put upon you by a government, a person, a belief system, none of those things constrain how information flows on the internet. So the universe's intention to create an environment whereby the human consciousness is able to rise up above and beyond the existing frameworks for how human thought and human engagement are meant to go on is really tantamount to this idea of, now that we no longer have those kind of boundaries and separations, what does our awareness allow for? And the significance of coming to realize, coming to be aware that our consciousness knows no separation, that our consciousness that is really the entity that we are connected to, by, and for, and through, is what awareness is. And the significance of how we've come to understand our idea of self in relationship to other through this connectivity to consciousness that causes us to look outside ourself to see the no boundary, the no territorial separation between us and other. And so the way in which information now can actually inform, that's what information is for the purpose of informing.
So but I think, and that's all, that's very, very true, and this is the greatest, you know, it's such a wonderful time to be experiencing this open access to see a window into worlds that we as individuals may not have had the opportunity to see, which then shapes our awareness and then shapes the information from our own environment that we can then expand on and then share back to that source of information, community, what different people, businesses, all the myriad ways that we can then share back with that influx of information and therefore give, you know, expounded information to the source. But one of the issues that we, you know, I remember in the very beginning when we first were working with young people and talking about awareness, and the young people would get it immediately, but some of the older people would say, well, I don't understand what we have to be aware of. And that's always just been so incredible to me that somebody has the perception that they don't know what they have to be aware of. And I think that our attitude about awareness, how can we receive information if we're not open to the fact that that information can benefit us? It's almost like, you know, you talk about the global community, and we look at the, here we are in the United States involved in a presidential election, and all of the politics all around the world right now coming to a head in many different ways, especially because of the global economy. And you look and you say, well, why do those, as an individual, we say, why do those leaders do that? Why are they doing this? And we have, you know, frustration with their operation. And we say, many of the leaders are only in it for their own power and ego. And they're not serving our best needs because they don't want to let go of the power. And I wonder how much of our own individuality is also holding on to the power of control of our information. When the information, when the awareness grows to such a degree that we recognize that it's so vast, we do have a sense very often in many situations of pulling back and not wanting that information to co-mingle, if you will, with our own database, because somehow we think we'll be corrupted, or our power, our sense of control, our sense of self will somehow might be denigrated by this information. And it's a very slippery slope to discern the information that's coming in, and therefore to know which information and how to process it. But to have a blanket sort of red flag against this overload of information is not the right attitude. It's not, again, an overload of information. It's simply access. And we have the ability, by refining our skill set, to pick and choose and modulate the way this information comes to us, which is why we are so focused on what we say is merging medias into minds that matter. At Be Aware Nation, we really focus on this because if we cannot merge media which really, what is media? Media is information. And as media becomes more sophisticated through technology, from the written word to the radio to the television to the internet, to this ability now for the average consumer to create their own media, it's so important that we merge the media that we are experiencing into a mind that matters. And I think that's just something very important, is to understand the platform of attitude that allows us to really embrace our awareness.
Very well said, very well said. In truth, it's really the significance of how to be interactive with your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And the willingness, as you say, to be inspired and stimulated and free of the fear that causes one to hold on to preconceptions of life as every system embedded with some framework of status quo causes us to keep hold as opposed
mm-hmm.
to let go,
mm-hmm.
just to see what will be.
Mm-hmm.
That the fundamentals of our awareness has always been available to answer every single time we've called upon it. That's that intuition. That's that sense of knowing. That's that idea of expanded self. You know, how do we grab a hold of, you know, the opportunity to say, I'm going to ride that attitude. I'm not just going to possess that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ride that attitude so that it really delivers me the full spectrum of my experience by letting go. That there is more available resource when you are willing to engage more of the fabric, more of the experiential field, more of this, you know, what has the internet provided? This more information, more media. You know, how do you discern? How do you really define? How do you delineate? You know, what are the actual methods that one employs today to really come to terms with being in command of this process? It's an enormous, enormous challenge. And again, here we are, as much as we are speaking about the elevating and expanding nature of human awareness that seems to be falling upon every shoulder, what we're also needing to say is that in the context of merging medias into minds that matter, these media today are very sophisticated. They are comprised of technological aspects that enable a full rendering of the human behavioral instinct so that all behaviors can be manipulated and exploited. I just read an article about the dirty tricks relative to the political landscape. And here we are in America, caught within this particular political cycle where it appears as if all decisions and determinations have been made for us. And when you look and see the significance of the types of different behaviors that have been employed to manipulate and exploit the voting public, that so much of the media that is meant to convey a meaningful message about how we are to be led in this country and who we are supposed to assign our loyalty and allegiance to in choosing as our leader is brought to us via exploitation, manipulation, and chicanery. That we can in no way, shape, or form believe that the words, statements, terms, and images used to convey these messages are really meant to cause us to experience a free and open, willful determination for for our own best benefit. And that means that every single way we live is therefore at risk, because the sophistication of the media machine, meaning that media now is in the hands of so few players that control so many different layers of the media pie, that no matter where you turn your dial on any device, the input that you will receive is vis-a-vis a platform from one of these media behemoths that controls every single aspect of that platform delivery system. So our abilities to lay claim to being able to properly discern, clearly delineate, and really honestly say to ourselves that we can define acutely what this media means as it comes into us, is woefully, woefully underserved and untrue. Because as much as our awareness has evolved and expanded, we have not addressed the significance of how that basic information inflow, that massive pipe of information that is the internet, that free-flowing, formless thought that can be grabbed by anyone and used by anyone for any purpose to manipulate and exploit each and every one of us, to challenge our mind's capacity to become better and more enriched as a result of engaging with that information is very much the work at hand in today's world. And no one is busy talking about it in a comprehensive, organized, systemic fashion that showcases to us how every single layer of society, how every aspect of our culture, how every piece of our governmental framework is engaged in this process, meant to contain and constrain us for whatever purpose they may have at their will. And so as we as people feel more empowered because we can create media, what is the media we're creating? And what is the purpose behind the media relative to increasing our mind's awareness to be able to perceive that media, understand that media, and use that media to construct meaningful lives out of? That's a significant challenge going forward in terms of how we as a people are able to use the current system to be able to build a framework for engagement in the global community so that the global economy does not disadvantage us going forward because of our really, as Americans, and this particular political landscape and this particular political discourse clearly showcases to us the indifference that this slate of politicians has in articulating a proper interpretation of this new global future and our place in it. And how, as Americans and as America, we have frittered away any kind of standing of substance, merit, meaning within this new global family and within this new global economy, our abilities to influence the directions or the kinds of relationships that we were accustomed to are simply no longer present. And so no young person coming out of college today meant to enter the workforce of our particular country's efforts, meant to go out and produce our gross domestic product so that we can have some form of basis for global trade, is disadvantaged at its core. These young people today possess very little understanding, very shallow global views of how in the world we are supposed to act and behave in this new global economy in a way that advantages us because of that attitude that causes one to say, I'm going to seize command of my awareness. I'm going to seize command of my capacity to use that awareness to begin to construct the kind of meaningful frameworks, the meaningful discourse, the meaningful kind of opportunities for that information to begin to turn itself through guidance of ours into the kind of knowledge that we can use to construct our place in the new economy.
Well, I think that when you look at the evolution, let's just take here in the United States, because this is something that we have a direct experience of. The World War II, the people came home from war, they had the government assistance, they did a huge infrastructure in the United States, housing, roads, and there was this glorious construction period, construction of the American family in a whole new way. And then we see the arc of how things began to become available, the awareness of government and the awareness of something like a President Nixon and having to resign, he was caught. The whole Watergate thing, Vietnam. I mean, all of these ways that our illusions began to be shattered about the American dream. And we've really come from a kind of a limbo period between when you were actively, physically called upon for this great world war, to go to war, to fight for freedom, and then these other, Vietnam, and then the people's understanding of the arc of the war economy is now fully engaged. And we see that, of course, with the war in Iraq. And I think that we've come to a crossing point where we recognize collectively that war is not the answer on so many levels, and it's certainly not a valid reason to jumpstart economies, to create a world economy through these war ways. And yet we're so new in our access to this information in terms of just a generation. And so now you look to the young people today and what they've been exposed to and their access. And you're so right. There is no there's many people doing great work to raise awareness about these issues, to raise awareness about the way world governments really work, our government here in America really works, and what we need to do to wake up and take control of our rights before they are completely frittered away. And we are simply just totally left to be cogs in the wheel, chipped. With our, they could scan us, tell where we are. You know, all of the Big Brother scenario is actually coming true. And so we have to find a point in time right here, right now. We don't have the luxury. We've been given this access to information, vis-a-vis the Internet in particular, which has gained a tremendous amount of collective consensus that something has to happen. And it doesn't take the whole planet to affect the change. It does take, though, the dedication of those who are willing to, you know, jump into this and take control in any way that they can. And that is almost the new, here in the United States, the American call to action. You know, you don't necessarily have to go on a vacation anymore. You can use your vacation time to actually do something to promote your philosophies and beliefs into action, which has never happened before. You know, so we're in a very exciting time, but we still have to recognize how young we are at not being a war economy, that our service to our country and to the world is not by necessarily, you know, putting our lives at risk by going to fight an actual war. It's about putting our minds and our information sharing, the sharing of our experiences, of our points of view, our worldview, so that we can impart this knowledge to those and inspire them who don't necessarily have access to this information, so that we can affect the change before it's too late.
It's really true. I mean, here I just read about Neil Young making a statement that, look, it's not music. The music's not going to change the world. It's some understanding, some deeper human understanding of how science and spirit are supposed to inform us and cause us to be able to cooperate in a much more meaningful capacity. And that is so basic to really fundamentally what we're up to. The idea of evolutionizing warism, that basic operating system of fear. The fundamentals that war, as an acronym in our world, stands for wasting assets resourcefully. When you look at the war machine and the war economy and the war players, especially in light of what we all know today, and who the beneficiaries of this particular war are, and how the resources, the $1 trillion that has been invested in this particular war machine to enhance its resources, makes war an asset play. And fundamentally, when the war machine is able to use fear, remember, fear again is an acronym in our world. It stands for frightened energy actualizes repression. And by frightening us, they freeze us. They create a state of repressed energy in us that fails to act, that fails to reach out, that fails to stand and deliver. Warism itself, as an acronym, is waging ancestral riots, realizes institutional societal malaise. We're fighting yesterday's battles for yesterday's people that have nothing to do with today, and certainly nothing to do with tomorrow. The people who are busy fighting these skirmishes are young, vital, creative constituents capable of crafting a future that delivers us a synthesis of the new scientific understanding that our spiritual basis, the spiritual nature of ourselves, is akin to nature itself. And therefore, in respecting nature, we learn how more deeply to respect ourselves. So that this concept of environmentalism and being green today, if being green itself and what being green therefore fundamentally stands for, which is the respect and recognition that the resources of nature mirror the fundamental essence of our very beings, then why will we go to reduce the human resource to nothing. Let's go kill another human for that resource that is naturally our shared experience. So the ideal of sharing, the ideal of sharing knowing connection is what awareness is in activity. And so being aware is being actively aware. It is putting awareness into action in a living sense. It causes us to take command over our own personal operating system so that we can evolutionize, use our human consciousness to expand our basic understanding of what our instinctual behavior is, what our own personal inbred thinking biases are, so that we can ensure that in every way possible, on a personal basis, we are reducing our own personal predatory practices that we all express every day. And that's a part of the operating system of fear. That's warism, practiced daily by each and every one of us. And to what do we have to be aware of? Our own personal biases to express warism, to behave in instinctual manners, to seek to want to conquer and possibly destroy another. When we begin to be aware of what the purpose of these intentions expressed are and what the end result can be, we recognize that expressing our energies, our creativity, our human consciousness through fear, through war, is simply counterintuitive to what the universal intention is, which is simply to live love. Love is the foundation and the destination of every single person and every single person's intentions.
So, I mean, love is truly, we say it's the living system of love. And we say that you have a love quotient. And the operating system code, not the operating system of fear, but the operating system code of love, is, yes, indeed, the foundation and destination of all universal intentions. And so our naive and unevolved humanity has led us to this point in time. But our aware and evolved humanity is rooted in love. And it is rooted in the desire to share. Because as you said in the beginning, we are simply mirroring the universal intentions. And everybody that walks this earth has a sense of peace when they are simply quietly connected to the abundance of the universe in their environment. When they are robbed, when they are pushed, when they are greedy, whatever their reason is, being put upon, being the predator, when they are at odds with that sanctity of their environment, then they begin to act against the living system of love, which is their fabric, the code, the DNA embedded in them, and they act in this operating system of fear. And because it has been the survivalist mode, it doesn't mean that it's the only code in our DNA. We had that code of love. We've always had that code of love. But our humanity had to grow and understand the ways of survival And as we've come to this point in time, we truly are, again, at a very exciting time because we're at this crossroads. And it will be the way that we get ourselves forward and upward from what seems like so often a bleak situation, a power-hungry, manipulative organizations, corporations, and conspirators who would seek to constantly create their own gain through these nefarious measures and specifically through this war economy. But the, as you said, those are old ideals being played out and being manipulated onto our youth. And I don't believe that our young people today are being born into this world. Their DNA, I think, has been evolved, and they are ready and able, and they are wired to understand this new platform that you suggested that they are. And they're totally capable of taking us in giant leaps ahead of the curve from where we are today. And that's always the hope of humanity. Hope is an acronym that we have. Hope is honoring our potential energies. Hope is a beautiful thing because we know that our potential energies are always there and ready. It's just nanoseconds there, that there's a new energy, there's a new energy. It simply continues to be alive. And hope is our awareness that our potential energies always have the potential to affect great change. We can literally change our reality by absolutely being in tune and aware of our potential energies and having a design that is in keeping with the living system schema that we create, which is underpinned by the living system of love.
It's so imperative that really the whole idea of understanding self relative to this concept of awareness and using awareness in an active manner to construct a systemic life that ultimately at its core is comprised of a living system schema, that the fundamentals of a schema, that the very nature and definition of a schema is really brought to bear, that it's itself recognizing that how the human process plays out in basic form is really a mirror of a basic form. It is a diagram that represents the elements of a system using any kinds of ways we want to describe it. And so what we're saying, and it's so interesting too, to hear, I heard a radio show today wherein the people were speaking about the significant trauma of the suffering and dilemma that is war in Darfur. And the significance of the kinds of battles that are being waged, and the barbaric way in which these people are behaving, the primitive manner in which they're seeking to extend their influence for whatever reason, on whatever basis, and that we here in this country can have an open dialogue about this going on across the globe in this land of trauma. Africa, in its definition of self, was trampled upon, and is now seeking to reclaim its righteous self, and yet it's still having to, in very, very basic terms, throw off the shackles of warism at its core. that the very basis of human behavior, a human being's primitive, barbaric nature, is still very much in play across the landscape there. And yet here we are in a more evolved land, a more sophisticated country where technology has advanced us in every form of living that has produced a human consciousness state of awareness that can be discoursed about and shared and articulated and critiqued even and used at its core, in its basis, to examine that barbarism of warism going on and use words and terms and phrases to describe the experience and how it's differentiated somehow from the ways in which we use this sophisticated awareness to engage here. And yet, in truth, what the overlay of that discourse was the significance of this particular political period of time and this particular political process busy going on in America, and how the political participants in this particular process and the political pundits busy commentating about this political process are really employing many of the same words and terms and phrases that are used to describe and define the kind of barbaric, primitive warism going on over there. And so, how far have we come to be nowhere in our abilities to delineate and differentiate our living experience, our living system schema that is no longer predicated on warism, that is no longer fueled by the operating system of fear, that is in itself able to construct a new language to define a new definition of a new opportunity, of a new experience. But no, in most cases, the language that is currently used is locked down, still constrained by warist tendencies. We have not used our attitude of awareness to advance our capacity to speak differently about our experience, to demand delineation between the two realms, between the two schools of thought, between the two worldviews. And that's a significant issue that we must address going forward. That's what merging medias into minds that matter means. That's the significance of what we have to do individually, collectively, interconnectedly, to begin to raise awareness to an activated state that can depend on an evolutionized experience, wherein what evolutionizing warism into the living system of love begins to be embodied in a living system schema because of the way that living system schema is interpreted, is lived, is acted upon, is spoken about, the way it's declared, the way it's shared. And that's what we're up to. And that's what we want to be engaged in. And that's why every single thing we do, in every way we do it, in all of the body of work that we represent, being aware is a state to put your mind in. What do I need to be aware of? Being aware and the responsibility and obligation that awareness at that level brings with it. The fundamentals of making certain that my awareness ties me to my consciousness, that is my connectivity. That's what makes me already be online. I am already connected to the universe, and so are you. So let's be connected together.
Absolutely.
See you in the ether.
See you in the ether.
Thank you for joining us, Be Aware people, here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is a state to put your mind in. So come visit us at BeAwareNation.com until we can continue our conversation next Sunday at 5 p.m. here on BBS Radio Channel 1, where we'll look forward to finding out what you're doing to merge medias into your mind in a way that matters. Remember, life affirms what you believe, so don't believe everything you think. Intuit your way home. See you in the ether!